Now, when we started singing it, Miss Ruth Ann did remember. So she has maintained her record. So that's good. All right. Now, you know, I shouldn't take the time to do this, but I'm going to. You like that reasoning? The One Globe Bank offering this past year was to Hannah Bennett. And we sent a check to her. And now came the year-end giving. And now the information for the church was on, of course, the church check. And it had the date, the address and everything. In the top corner of the envelope, I put my return address in case it needed to be sent back. And we've seen this before. I don't know the reasoning factors or lack thereof in some offices, because it came back with this address, Black Creek Baptist Church, P.O. Box 83. That's correct. 211 North 19th Street. That's our address. And then Black Creek, New York. But it came to our place in Olean. And it has, well, it got there, I realize now, because it has our zip code on it, 14760. So they, when the machine goes through, it picks up the first identifiable thing, which was our zip code. But I could not believe it. It is stranger than strange. So next time, if we send something to her, we'll have to correct that. But all right, just think of what you learned now by coming. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you would please, in your Bible. I am going to place my handy-dandy little stick-tack bumper, like this thing, little blue thing, and that keeps my notes from sliding down here, and then I got to look down like that. And whenever I go to a different church, I try to get there early enough to look if I've got a slider or if it's going to be oh the problems of teaching and preaching from notes. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'd like to read it if you'll follow. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. This kind of foolishness that's spoken of in verse 1-3 speaketh expressly in latter times that depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit, doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having your conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Now, this kind of living can be illustrated in the lives and practices of some, not all, but some of the monks and hermits who went to live in the deserts of Egypt entirely cut off from men. They spent their lives mortifying, punishing their physical bodies. Now, Colossians 3:5 tells us that we ought to mortify the flesh, but not in the way that I'm about to illustrate, okay? Mortifying the flesh is that if there's three pieces of candy left in the candy bowl, it's not a good thing just to eat them all so that the bowl's empty, okay? Mortify the flesh is take one piece and leave them there for another day. But some people reason different than others, okay? Let me go on here now to some of these really weird ones. One monk never ate cooked food and was well known for his fleshlessness. He was skinny, okay? He never cooked anything. He all ate it raw. Hey, that's the latest thing that I read regarding healthy eating. I read that's what you should do. Yeah, well, this monk did it, and you know what he was known for. Then another one stood all night by a cliff, which had point-like rocks jutting upwards at the bottom of it. Now, why did he do that? He did that to keep himself from sleeping, punishing his body by not sleeping. And yet another achieved, if we want to call it that, recognition because he allowed his body to become so dirty and neglected that vermin dropped from him as he walked. Now, that's gross, isn't it?
Yes.
Disgusting.
We've been boys like that.
Oh, so these obviously are the extremes of what some have done that would illustrate these three verses. Now I want to describe verse 1-5, phrase by phrase. The first one here speaketh, but in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. That's what we refer to as apostasy. And you notice the leaving of, the departing from, and it says the faith. It's not talking about an individual and what an individual does and what we would normally think of as backsliding. What this is referring to is people who would leave Christianity, as we would call it, all right? And they leave the faith. They renounce the whole system. It's important to hear all that a person teaches. And they do this. It says here, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And the doctrines of devils is not a doctrine about devils. It is the teaching of devils. And it's important that you know all. I have watched some TV programs, okay, through the years. And there was one fella that I liked his preaching. And what he said was, man, he's right between the eyes. And a lot of it sound good, but a lot of my fundamentalist friends, they give warnings about him. And so I'm watching him. I don't see anything wrong. I don't hear anything wrong. But I knew at the same time, these were insightful people. And so I went to the fellow's website. And there I found out that he's anti-Trinitarian. Doesn't believe in the Trinity. And I forget what else. That was the biggest thing. And so it doesn't matter how much good and true they say, if they also are teaching lies. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, not everything they say is false. There are some things they say that are true and would be in agreement with the Bible. So it's not what they say that's true that's a problem, it's what they teach that is false. And that's what is, I believe, being spoken up here. Now, A pastor has referred to one of the first books, not the first, but one of the first books that I got on the subject of Bible versions. And that was by Gail Riplinger, New Age Versions. And it's a big book. I'm a slow reader. Took me forever to get through it. A black cover, and it's worth having. Because it, what it does is identify the very sort of things that are being spoken of here in departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and so on. Now, here back about, oh wow, it could be 15 years ago, time flies, the evangelicals, okay, represented in the National Association of Evangelicals, they, some of their key people, whose names I don't remember, they were infatuated with getting together with the Roman Catholic leaders. And so they would get together and meet and talk. And you always heard them say this, that you know there's so much that we agree on. There is so much that they say that is right. And that's correct. What they didn't deal with is what the Roman Catholic Church teaches that is unscriptural. And to the things that they teach, and this is true with all false teachers, the things that they teach that are unscriptural, therefore weaken, at best, we'd say weaken, and usually undermine true teachings. So the teaching of salvation, for example. Well, Romanism teaches that he died on the cross. Teach he died for our sins. Okay? Teach that you have to have faith. Well, what's wrong with that? We believe that. But they also teach that equal to that which we just said is works. And equal to that is if you commit a mortal sin, this won't all matter, faith in the Bible and what Jesus did. And so you see what the additional things they teach undermine the truth, so that it is that, as the average Catholic thinks, that you get saved by what you do. Now you talk to a knowledgeable one, they know the difference. And those, I remember when I delivered potato chips in my early witnessing years, I talked with a lady, it was truly a mom and pop store. They took their living room and made it a grocery store. And I'd go in there and I'd sell them products, and I started witnessing to her. And after many encounters, came to realize she was truly trusting only in Jesus Christ. Amen. To the point she says, I don't care what the church says, I know this is what you need to do. And so, you know, but the average Roman Catholic, they think it's by what they do, doing what the church says, and so on. And it really gave them a tailspin for centuries. They could not eat fish on a Friday, and then that was lifted. But the restaurant industry hasn't understood that, so they still have their big fish fries on Friday rather than any other day of the week. But I guess that doesn't matter. Ecumenism in general undermines the true teachings of Scripture. A man named Adam Clark said this, and I quote, a man may hold all truths of Christianity and yet render them of non-effect by holding other, that is, additional doctrines which counteract their influence. And so deception is a key tool of Satan. Verse 2 talks about the conscience being seared, referring to branding with a hot iron and the skin in the forehead, which is somewhat insensitive to touch, but it's visible for all to see. And hence branding was done of slaves that were disobedient or ran away. They would be branded on the forehead. Now, that doesn't mean every slave in every country and so on, but that was a common practice in many areas that this was done. You need to remember that when a statement like I just made is said, if you happen to be reading and hear that a slave was branded on his hand, oh no, it's supposed to be the forehead. Well, then you're reading it in something significant like National Geographic, you know. Then you're going to begin to think, oh, Pastor Hayne didn't know what he was saying. You see how that works? So, you know, not every country did it on the hand. Not every region in the country did it on the hand. Not every country or region in the country did it on the forehead. When we illustrate with something, we're just using an illustration, okay? So there needs to be some understanding that way. You say, well, why is that so important? Because the devil deceives. And he'll come along if he can and get you to begin to think, well, Pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. Because these, you know, this big organization, they have people go all over the world, you know. Pastor Hayne goes to Pennsylvania, you know. And they go to Peru and Paraguay. And so, you know, just, you know, that to me is common sense, but sometimes that's hard to see when you're into a subject. All right, now verse 3 and 4. It says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So here we have two distortions to godliness that have existed for centuries, even millennia. And the first one here is forbidding to marry. In other words, that what is forbidding to marry? That not marrying. That's celibacy, right? Do you know any religious organization which has a celibacy? Huh? Roman Catholic Church. You say, you seem to be a little hard on the Roman Catholic. I can't help what they teach and do. And that if it fits in to what I'm talking about in these verses. And they're not the only one. There are other religions that teach celibacy. And boy, it's gotten the Roman Catholic Church in lots of problems with the sexual abuse of children, hasn't it? Yeah, but the big priest in the Vatican, he won't change it. He won't change it. He'll say things that sound encouraging and hopeful, but he won't change it because they lose their control when they make those kind of changes. All right, now, the most of these two verses deal with commanding to abstain from meats. And this is meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. God created animals to eat. I hope this doesn't. Oh, it is. It'll go out over the internet. And I'll get a call from PETA this week or some other animal rights organization. It created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. These animals were created for various purposes on the earth, but for meat. Now, here we eat cattle, okay? In Ireland and some similar countries, sheep and mutton is very commonly eaten, okay? And then in some areas, they eat rats. Well, I'm glad I don't live there. But you see, if you grew up with that, you wouldn't know any different, would you? You say, is that saying? I don't know what all is included in this, okay? But all I know is vegetarianism convincingly argued can sound very noble and beneficial, but it's not. Okay? Now, an individual may have certain health conditions that causes them to avoid eating, especially the big bad one, red meat. Okay? And that health condition might warrant that. But in general, vegetarianism is not, you can't go to the Bible to support vegetarianism. And we're going to make it even fancier. We're going to call it vegans. Okay? Because vegetarianism, they just eat vegetables. But vegans, they won't eat anything that was produced by an animal. Okay? And so they don't have the delight of milk. And so today, as well as in centuries past, there are those who with great subtlety relate godliness and eating, and inevitably it will lead to the giving up of all certain types of meats. And you know, I know that the meat today, because of the way it's raised, you know, I think the feedlots, okay, they're pitiful. I oppose that kind of thing. I'm not in favor of that sort of thing. And I know that much of the meat today, because of how it was raised, what it was injected with and all, is different than what the meats that are referred to here. But again, what I'm saying is the meat was given for us to eat. The U.S. is being invaded by the East. I mean, that invasion's been going on. This is nothing new. Whether it's mind healing or meditation, like transcendental meditation, not meditation as the Bible talks about it, transcendental meditation, getting in contact with your gundala. I think it's called gundala. Okay, now not the dental center down in Olean. Gundala Dental Center, not that. But I think it's Gundala. It's Kunda. That's your inner core. Okay? You get in touch with your inner core. And that's where all things emanate from. And all of your health and all of your education come out of your core. Well, you get into some exercise programs and you're going to hear about the core of the body. You get into some eating programs and you're going to hear about that which feeds the core of your body. I'm telling you, friends, if it came from the East, that in itself ought to be enough to warn us that there ought to be a bunch of, I always say, when you hear something that doesn't sound right, if you see a red flag waving, let me tell you, they're having a parade when it comes to these things that come from the East with waving flags. We sent missionaries there to convert them because they did not have the truth. But when the United States of America sold out, as it has, to secular humanism, all the Christian influence began to diminish. Why? Because we live in the world, but we're not to be a part of the world. But when these things became the thing, too many of us that live in the world became a part of it. And so we can eat meat almost daily. On some talk show, you'll see, oh, who's that doctor? Oz, that's it. Dr. Oz, and he'll have somebody there. And I'm telling you, sounds convincing. You know, I may as well buy his book, whoever the guy is that he's interviewing, because it's going to make me something super different. Or super beats. How about that? If you buy one canister now, we'll send you the little ditty that you put it in to mix it, and we'll send you two more. Okay, so you can get super beets super beets do everything. We're going to shut down the pharmaceutical industry with super beets. You say, you sound a little skeptical. Listen. It doesn't taste like beets.
Nothing.
Yeah, the one guy standing on the street drinks some. Hey, this is good. This doesn't taste like beets. So they got you covered. Open your wallet. And so, forbidding to marry, and let me show you some Bible verses. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Verse 3 and 4. Verse 9 begins, God blessed Noah and his sons and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air. Verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herbs have I given you all things. In other words, you have meat to eat and you have green herbs to eat. And everybody knows a normal meal is meat, potatoes, and vegetables.
Amen.
Okay? Now, he didn't cover the potatoes, but he said, meat, everything that moves is for you to eat, and green herbs. So both of them. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is in the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So blood pudding, whether a person's raised on it or not, is a no-no. Okay? Because you're not supposed to eat the blood. And so you say, well, that's Old Testament, and that's even pre-law. Now, I know the law that God gave to Israel was much more rigid on the matter of what to eat or not eat. Some of that was for ceremonial purposes. Some of it was because of the wandering that they would be doing in the wilderness without refrigeration. Okay, they couldn't stop at the local 7-Eleven and get some ice to keep everything chilled. And so I believe some of the dietary restrictions were what I'm going to refer to as common sense for them in their living. Now, I've also felt that the dietary restrictions that God gave to the Jews for whatever purposes, and I know I haven't covered them all, for whatever purposes were of benefit. And therefore, a person who chooses to follow them, I believe, will have a benefit. But you see, they will be eating meat. It's just, we've been told here, everything is available, and there was clean and unclean meat. As a matter of fact, look at Acts chapter 10. When we talk about this matter of clean and unclean. and so if a person voluntarily follows the dietary restrictions, and here again, there's all kinds of books you can find written based on the dietary restrictions that God gave to the Jews, and somebody turned it into a prophet. To benefit mankind, though. But you see, all of these healthy things are to benefit mankind. And as long as they can make their profit from it, they'll benefit mankind. That's such a... Oh, I get so upset when I sit there and read it. You can overcome your problems. You can... And whatever they're talking about. If it's so helpful, the pharmaceutical industry as well... You know, man, I never knew there were so many drugs out there until they started advertising them. And we want people to know so they can bet. Well, if you can't afford it, we will help you with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The limit on that is so low, it's unbelievable. But anyway, they really want to help knock the price down. And all this healthy food, Super Beets is going to take care of everybody. Well, why not make that so it's affordable to a person in a lower economic level? Oh, well, you know, we have to cover our expenses. Yeah, and those expenses include the kind of house they live in, the kind of car they drive, and all that. And you say, you sound very skeptical again. It's 'cause I am. You know, the old sin nature shows up in many different places, and one of the places in advertising. It's just that it's very dressed up, and it isn't as recognized, and this is for your welfare. Yeah, right. All right, Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. On tomorrow, as they went on their journey, that is the people, the Cornelius and his entourage, Peter went up upon the house to pray about the sixth hour. He came very hungry and would have eaten, but he fell asleep while they were getting food ready. And what he saw, he had it in a trance. There was a vessel descending, had a great sheet, knitted four corners, and there were all kinds of four-footed beasts in the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And this was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And so here he had a vision that all of those things that in the Old Testament under the law were forbidden, now God says, you can eat it. And Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, you misunderstand." And yeah, the Lord misunderstands. You say, well, maybe Lord there doesn't mean the Lord. Maybe it's just a man that he's calling Lord. And it doesn't matter, he came from God. And Peter is not going to eat. Why? Because his traditions and his routine carried more weight with him than the message from God. The message from God tells us we can eat meat. We can eat all kinds of meat. And he even says here, creeping things. Okay? So I don't know. Does that mean like crawfish? Lobsters? I don't know what it means, you know. I'm sure there's people, I've been in contact with a fellow who didn't care for a post that I made regarding the wall. And I told him, I don't get into debates over these things because I leave that to people who have a sharper mind than what I do. And so there are people with a sharper mind than I have that can identify the creeping things. All I know is it says you can go ahead and eat meats. And if you're in Maine and want to stop at a seafood shack and get some of the stuff that creeps, you can have it, okay? And so, verse 4, we're back now in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 4, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Our attitude in eating is important. Good food is what verse 4 talks about. And then verse 6, the beginning part, talks about good ministers, good pastors. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And the end of verse 6 talks about good doctrine. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attain, nourished by scripture rather than the outward aesthetic actions. True Christian growth is by grace, by the word, by the Holy Spirit, not by the works of the flesh and self-effort. Now, that introduces to us verse 7. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And then it goes into your membership at the local gym. not really, okay? And it's not against having a membership at a local gym, okay? But it does go into the matter of exercise. And I'm telling you, just like the food has become a religiously based thing, and your spirituality is connected in some circles, it's connected with what you eat. There are other circles that your spirituality is connected with your temple, your body. All right, that comes the next time I teach, but we will finish that up, but right now we need to end. Father in heaven, thank you for the loving grace that you've given us. Thank you for the scriptures. Help us to understand it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor. Oh, thank you, sir.